Good evening, and welcome to Art World Innovators, exploring stories of innovation in the art world. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba.
Our guest this evening is Winnipeg artist Toby Gillies, a visual artist intuitively experimenting with drawing, collage, animation, ceramics, sculpture, public art, and social practice. Toby studied at the School of Art at the University of Manitoba and is currently the studio manager at Art City, a not-for-profit community art studio dedicated to providing people of all ages with innovative and professional art programming. Toby is an artist in residence at Misericordia Health Center and also started Places for Peanuts, a drawing collective with a wide membership, one of his many community projects. As an artist in residence at the Art Gallery of Ontario in Toronto in 2019, Toby was involved in another community project, Secret Ingredient, and was the exhibitionist in residence for the CBC Arts Program. Toby was a selected artist for the ACRA Conference in Charlottetown, PEI. He has been an artist in the Wall-to-Wall Mural Festival and has had works in numerous solo and group exhibitions, such as Together at Art Zone San Francisco, All In at Martha Street Studio, and Scenes of Togetherness at Ace Art Incorporated in Winnipeg. He's also been the recipient of numerous grants and awards, such as Arts Across Canada by the Canada Council for the Arts. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Your work is very innovative and unique. And can you tell us about your early interest in art and your creative background and training?
You mentioned I went to art school at the U of M, which I did, but I feel like I draw more, especially in my current role at Art City, from my experience as a child. My father's an artist. He makes ceramic things and does mix paintings. And when I was young, I just grew up in his studio making things all the time. And he also hosted art classes for the community kids every week and all summer. And so I grew up in that environment in our house. Felt a lot like Art City in my memory. And so that's where I feel like I came from.
You've mentioned on your website you have an intuitive approach to your artwork and how it lends itself to collaboration and playful exploration. Can you tell us more about your artistic process and walk us through a piece or a series?
Okay, interesting. I guess I find myself most interested in projects where I am learning, and when the art making, especially when it's sort of a reason to make friends or to be with people or a reason to connect with someone. So that's why I love working on projects collaboratively, because for me, interesting, I'm just making that connection now, but I guess it always has been a reason for getting people together, art making. So that's where I find myself most engaged and excited. And you asked sort of a project that's intuitive. I think that's sort of the basis of everything, is the playfulness, experimentation, and that's the first stage of all projects, and it all comes from that and then develops into something more. I can't think of a project I've worked on that didn't start with experimentation, not doing it for a particular purpose or searching for anything in particular. And so I find that's maybe why projects sort of go in different directions. They didn't start out to be something in particular.
You also have an interesting daily work routine with Art City, Misericordia Health Center, and your own art practice. Would you like to elaborate a little and tell us what's most rewarding about each?
Well, definitely getting to know people through making visual art together, I think, is most rewarding. So through many years of working at Misericordia and art projects there, the project there is working with the people that are living at Misericordia Health Center receiving care. Getting to know people over many years, I think, has been rewarding. It's my 10th year anniversary at Art City. And so I can't say that looking back on doing something for 10 years, getting to know people when they're very young and then making art with them until they're adults has been so rewarding at Art City. Similarly, I've also been doing the project at Misericordia with my collaborators. There's been a few over the years with Hannah and Natalie and Francesca, and of course the staff there. But I've also been there for 10 years. And so I've been working with some of the residents at Misericordia for almost 10 years, like maybe 8 years. And a project that I'm most focused on right now is the film that I'm making with Natalie and a resident named Edith. So all of these things have started at the same time, and I've been doing them for a very long time. And so to have those very long relationships with people based around making art together is the most rewarding.
Seasons of Togetherness was a dynamic solo exhibition at Ace Art in Winnipeg and had your drawings, collages, and animations about human interaction and connection. Can you tell us about the preparation and the process of designing and creating the works, and describe a few of the pieces from the exhibition?
The exhibition had a lot of work that I made. That art show was great. It gave me a lot of opportunity to just play and experiment and make lots of different things. But there was one drawing, and it was called Ways You Could Love. And it was a large drawing installation that took up three walls in the now old Ace Art space. And it was made up of 80 drawings. And it was sort of an animation installation because the frames, they had a grid where there was some repetition and motion. And I was experimenting with turning them into animations. It didn't quite work as I planned, but it did work out. It was a process that was sort of experimental from the beginning. So it started working with some friends that are down and we were making video, and I was asking them to imagine different ways that they could express love or compassion or feeling to someone, but they were doing it to nobody. And then I was collaging them together, collaging the videos together, and mining for material that looked odd and that reminded me of some illustrated books I'd been collecting on that were breaking down how to express your feelings to others. And it was pretty loose and intuitive and resulted in a lot of drawings up on the wall. That was the major piece in the show a couple of years ago.
You're also fortunate to be part of an artist in residence program at the Art Gallery of Ontario in Toronto, which resulted in a very innovative, integrative work, Secret Ingredient. Can you tell us about how you got involved and describe the collaborative project with Natalie Ferguson?
The AGO has been doing this artist in residence program for many years. They have a studio in the lower level of their sort of education wing and in the same building as the gallery, but down below. And it was the first year they ever did an open call. So previously it would have been curated or selected or invited. And they did an open call, and they specifically wanted artists that would do work engaging gallery visitors during the spring break. So like lots of families were coming. So Natalie and I both have a fascination with vintage cookbooks and food photography and table setting. We just have a thing we were interested in together. So we were trying to think, when we saw the call, it was just a lightning bolt. We had this idea. We're like, we have to take food photography at the AGO with gallery visitors. So it was pretty wild. We had about a month to prep everything. And then the event ran for, I think, 12 days for 8 hours in Walker Court. And we had around 700 to 800 people come through a day. And there was this great team of volunteers and staff helping run the event. So people would come and they would arrive with their families or with friends or whatever. Very different world now that I'm thinking back on that, the amount of people crammed together. And they received a recipe card, and they would write out like a favorite family recipe that they shared as a group of people. And then they wrote out the ingredients they needed, the recipes, something to share. And then we built a set, one set that looked like a pantry and another set that looked like a marketplace, all made of cardboard and paper. And then what the sets were, though, is there were places where people would go get their supplies. So we spent the time leading up to the project, prepping just different textures of food. And then we printed them onto brown paper, and crispy deep fried noodles, fish skin, lemon zest, anything we can think of. And then we just copied 500 of each and set them out on these shelves. So people grabbed their textures, and then they used tape and paper to make a sculpture of their meal. And then when they came to another area where we had our photo sets, we got tons of kitchen stuff, like serving platters, silver plates, serving tools. And then we had these sets with these different backdrops. So they had, at the AGO, they had all these scenic pictures with soft focus, so they could go in the background. And then we'd have a little gingham tablecloth with a dish of curry stew. I can't remember them all. Lots of pizza, lots of cakes. We photographed the food so that it looked like a corny cookbook, something vintage. And then we collaged the images. So we had the recipe and the food photograph up on two big TV screens that created a video cookbook collaboratively. So anyone who's visiting the gallery could walk and see all the recipes and photography that had been made throughout the week. We had some ambition to do a print book, but it just didn't materialize. But all the work is up on their website, I believe, still, and mine. It was a very fun project.
How did Places for Peanuts get started?
Well, we don't meet anymore, but that was a group of friends that was very formative for me and for all of us. We were either near the end of university age and just wanted to connect and draw and make art together. And then we wanted to do that every week, and sometimes more than every week. And it grew. It was a really lovely time with really lovely people, and made really good friends and drawings together. And we made lots of animation experiments and really practiced ways of collaborating to make drawings together. But it would have been before I came to Art City that we started doing that group. And I was too shy to come to Art City until we had Places for Peanuts, and there was some other Art City staff that were part of that. And so then I felt comfortable coming to volunteer here.
While you were doing Places for Peanuts, you were also included in the University of Manitoba School of Art group exhibition entitled There's More Than One Way, which was an overview of collective art making practices in Winnipeg from 1968 to now. Can you tell us about this exhibit and some of the other renowned art collectives that were involved and what that experience was like?
I felt a little out of place, but it was really lovely to be included. But we used to get together and draw so often without any real reason or purpose. We would make zines or whatever. I think we did just three or so, but mostly that felt like too much work for the most part. Sometimes I think Janessa and Scott put some zines together because it was a lot of work to make those collections. And otherwise we would just get together and make piles and piles of drawings, and we put them in boxes and bins. And then a few of us, I think for sure it was, I kind of remember, I think Ted and Matea and Josh and I, we got the boxes of drawings and we just did A, B, C piles. And so if we liked it, it was A. If we kind of liked it, B. If we didn't like it, it's C. And then we sorted through them all like that. And then we gave Keegan, I think was the curator, and we gave him the A pile and then told him how to install it.
Because you were with some pretty interesting other artists.
Yeah, I guess it's a thing. I mean, that's why they made that show. It's somewhat of a Winnipeg thing, I guess, to want to hang out with your friends and make art together.
Some of them are pretty well known. Were they all from Winnipeg?
All at some point from Winnipeg or Winnipeg connected.
You mentioned already that animation is an element that you bring into your artwork. Can you tell us how you started this sort of work and some projects that you use it for?
Right now, that's really what I'm focusing on. I've been working on a project, but I started making animations with my pal, Matea, and we would just get together once a week and make drawings together and make little animations. And so I had some interest before that, but I didn't really know in any way how to work that way. So I learned the basics from her and practiced that way. And then it's been just sort of an experimental practice of mine for maybe 5 years or so. And then some music videos developed out of some experiments. And otherwise, it's been a fun experimental project. And over the last 2 years, I've been working on an animation that's being produced by NFB with Natalie Baird, working together with Edith at Misericordia to make an animated documentary. So we're just finished developing it and they're going to spend the next year working to produce it. It's turned into such a fantastic project. I'm really excited about it. It's going well. Animated film based on Edith interviews that we did with her, and she shared that her son had died very recently, and so she shares that on camera and talks about how she uses her imagination to imagine being with him and to escape otherwise. That's why we were interested in interviewing her, is because of her incredible imagination and the way she talks about it. And then we have known her for so many years that our interviewing her pretty much was we took drawings that we made together with her and we pushed them up against her window. It was COVID, so we couldn't be with her, so we pushed her drawings against the window, and then I remembered what they were about, so she would look at them too and it would bring back memories, and she'd just riff and talk about it and describe what's happening in the pictures, and then we formed the script for the film we're making out of that.
You did do some animations and were on the exhibitionist in the residence program for CBC Arts Online.
That was a nice opportunity to share things. I think the producer of that show must have just seen things I was, experiments I was posting on Instagram. And so they reached out and asked if I would do some interstitials, which is like they had interviews and programming, and then I just contributed weird, funny animations in between things. So I just gave them a selection of sort of relaxing and weird animations that are an exercise in finding ideas.
You're also a very good musician. How has your music played a role in your artwork? Maybe enhanced your production of music videos or some of your other artwork?
I've always played drums in bands, and just for fun. I'm wondering how it, certainly in my social circles, art and music, I make visual art with the same people that I make music with. So maybe there's a connection there. I don't really make music on my own either. That's another thing I do with friends. And maybe that's just the life of a drummer, but I need musicians to be with to enjoy that the most. So I guess it's similar in that way to my visual art practice. Certainly, I have found when I was younger, especially, I was really into recording music with friends. And certainly the skills and the ways of working I honed at that time are really helpful now in making animation, in the ways of working and in understanding rhythm and timing.
There was a video, The Somersault was a colorful and dynamic video with great dancers and music. What was your role and contribution for this production?
I worked with my friend Hannah. She was the art director for the music video, and it was a music video for Royal Canoe years ago. And we made sculptural elements. We made the set together for that. We bought lots of rolls of brightly colored paper and made these giant crumpled paper shapes. It was a really fun production to work on.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Art City and maybe some events that you have coming up?
At Art City on October 30th, we've been working towards doing a Halloween event. And the idea has been led by the youth, by the participants, and some of them are kid participants, some of them are adult participants. And it's going to be called a person named Giselle thought of this. It's called the Doomsday Monster Carnival course. So it's kind of like if you imagine the structure of mini golf, you know, you walk through, you play the course, there's flags, numbers, but there's no golf. It's just different games and Halloween experiences or carnival style games that it's a course that you play through. So there are pretty weird ideas. There's a giant hairy head that asks you trivia questions. There's a game called Pumpkin Dentist where you have to help this pumpkin by throwing rocks at its rotten teeth and knocking them out. And there's a giant snot punching bag that when you punch it, candy falls out of the nose. It's very much in progress still. So we'll see how it all comes together. But I love working on those, helping to make those ideas come together. All of the volunteers and staff and board will gather on Friday to finish all of the projects that have been started by the participants. And then on Saturday, everyone will set up out in the park just down Yonge Street, and we'll set it up and try to make a really funny experience out of it.
Are there any other projects, Food Art City, coming up?
Well, coming up is going to be just a couple of months of sort of low-key programming, just getting people used to being back indoors together. I'm taking a little break from Art City for a couple of months because I'm having a baby. And so I'm really looking forward to that. But it'll obviously remain excellent here, and lots of things will keep happening. It's obviously like everyone has gone through just such a weird 2 years. So it's just been so busy and so different all the time. I'm really hoping the programming can just continue indoors and be safe and feel safe and be consistent.
I'd like to thank you so much for sharing your story and valuable insight with our audience. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, and we wish you continued success.
Thanks, Susan.
For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Art World Innovators on UMFM 101.5.
I leave you tonight with three songs recorded by local musician Bud Gillies and his band Billy Budd from their album How to Do It Now. The songs are entitled Ordinary Man, Moving Away, and Out of Time.
Close my eyes and realize I'm still alive. Oh,
I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and we thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.